Hello, all you bloodsuckers out there. It is your favorite host with the most, Benjamin Dutil, with the Horror Heathen YouTube channel and the South Jersey Horror Podcast. In this special episode, I have a wonderful guest, Daz Crawford, who you all know as Lighthammer from Blade 2. Blade 2 is actually my favorite one out of the entire trilogy because the whole blood pact thing and Wesley Snipes all kicking ass and killing Reapers. It's fucking amazing. I love it. Anyway, Daz Crawford, fucking very talented actor. I love this guy. Shit, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining my show.
Hey mate, it's good to be here. It's interesting. I find it fascinating how people they gravitate towards certain types of genres of movies. And if you like the vampires and the horror, then I'm good to go. I'll play that all day long.
Which is fascinating because, the Blade, the first Blade movie was okay. I mean, it first came out, it made by Marvel, and you got all this crap going on. It was good, but Blade 2 came out, it was a lot better. I mean, I was like, shit, yes, I had now have a new favorite vampire movie. And then, sorry, Wesley Snipes, Blade 3 is just complete garbage. I hated it with a passion. So,
Why is that?
Blade Trinity, I don't know. With Ryan Reynolds in it, it did not seem great at all. And Parker Posey, to me, the entire movie just got ruined, and the whole trend, the trilogy of the franchise just ruined it for me. I was
It's
like, you
a
know what?
tough one, isn't it? When you've got a first movie, everybody gauges it from the first movie. When we did the second one, everybody said, yeah, this is great. This is great. And it's really, really hard to beat a first. And then to go to the third, which, the storyline for me, I didn't feel like it was a lot about Blade. It was about the other characters. So it did kind of take away from Blade, which is why I hear a lot of Blade fans complaining because it wasn't really about Blade. It was about the other characters, which is maybe why people don't like it so much,
I mean, the whole background history of the Whistler family and all that bullshit. And then it got really cheesy. I'm like, who does this kind of shit? You ruined the whole thing for me. So Blade 2 is now like top tier for me.
A
It
lot
was
of
just.
people say it. A lot of people, I, you know, a lot of people tell me Blade, they like the second one. Like I said, Guillermo del Toro, amazing director. So, when you've got something like that behind you, then he's going to pull something out of the bag and do a great job. And I feel like everybody, it was a good team. It was a good, great cast. And we did party. So, as well
I
as work
bet.
hard, we did. Oh, yeah, we're 3 months in Prague. I mean, you can't complain with that, can you really,
Got
Ouch.
Ron Perlman with you. You know you had to party really hard, man.
Ron Perlman was my
That
side. It was my side man. Yeah, he was a good guy. I like Ron. He's a great guy.
And that's another reason why I like Blade 2, because the cast. I mean, it's a wonderful cast. I mean, you
Amazing,
got Wesley Snipes, Ron Perlman, Norman Reedus, Chris Christopherson, Donnie Yen. He's a badass. I love Donnie
Yeah,
Yen.
I got
I
to
love
kill
his
him.
movies. And
Eat him.
Donnie Yen, so, but your guy, your Lighthammer, I would not want to fuck with him. I'm sorry. I mean, he's just,
Lighthammer
he's.
was definitely a character.
So,
And the funny story with
you.
that movie, actually, sorry, with this film is I actually auditioned for a different character with a different agent and I didn't get it. And I thought, it was gone. And then a couple of weeks later, a couple of guys I knew were supplying some stunt guys for the film. And they said, oh, do you want to read for the, they've got another character available. I said, yeah, let's do it. And it was for Lighthammer, which is what I got.
That's awesome. I mean, I'm jealous that you got paid for that
Honestly, for me, it was right at the beginning of my acting career. I'd done one or two little gigs with, well, say little gigs, little roles, big films, James Bond. For that one, for me, was definitely a dream come true. You're sent out to Prague for 3 months and you're getting looked after like a king or a queen or whatever, and you're in a great movie. I didn't want it to end. it was, you know, something you don't want to wake up to. So definitely at the beginning of my career, it was definitely a good gig to work on.
Bet. I mean, shit, who does not want to go to Prague for 3 months? I mean, I would love to go to Prague for 3 months. The clubs, the bars. I just watching movies and like that is definitely on my bucket list. I gotta go. I mean, it's there.
Honestly, you got to do it because it's an amazing place. Obviously, historically, it's got that, but the party place to be, it is a really, really cool place to go to.
So I did a little research about you, and you have a very, very impressive background. I mean, very, very impressive, like phenomenally impressive. So
Quite
how
different.
did it how did it all begin for you? Like your journey, how did your journey start?
I pinch myself today still. Started off in Liverpool. I didn't really have a mum and dad around. I had bits of family here and there looking after me. Lived in different homes. By the time I was 16, well, I had nowhere to live really. I joined the Royal Air Force at 16. I just wanted food and a bed. That was my mentality. You know, I needed food and I needed a bed. So that was the military was the first choice. During my time in the Air Force, spent a lot of time, you know, 15, 16 years in the Air Force. I started boxing. I was boxing as a kid, actually, and then I stopped and then I started again. And I did quite well. As an amateur boxer, I was ranked 10th in the world when I finished. And I was playing national basketball. So I kind of used the military for sports. It was great for sports. And then in my early, what was I, in my early 30s, I was just about 30, yeah, I came out of the Air Force and I thought, well, what am I going to do? Now it comes to the funny stuff. Okay. I don't know if this is out there actually in online, but I'll say it now. I was just playing around, just fooling about. And somebody suggested I be a stripper. So 6 foot 5, 225 pounds. Let's do it. So I did that. I joined a troop, like a Chippendale type style thing, and toured Europe on my own, did short solo shows. So I was doing that for a while. That was good fun, but I realized that wasn't going to be everything. And got back to the UK. Thought, right, what am I going to do now? Went to London, finished with the stripping, and I was doing a bit of modeling work. I didn't really like it too much. And then somebody just said to me, a friend of mine who had a PR agency, she said, have you thought about being a gladiator? I said, what's one of them? What's that? And she said, oh, it was an American show and they brought it to England and blah, 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 blah. I said, yeah, I'll give that a try if you want. Let's go for it. So luckily, somebody had just been fired from the Gladiators and they were looking for a replacement just for a couple of years before the series finished. So I managed to become a Gladiator, which has actually just had a reboot by the BBC just recently in the UK. And it's apparently doing really, really well, which is great. And I did that for a couple of years. My Gladiator name was Diesel. And then I was asked to do if I wanted a little role in a Bond film. A friend of mine booked one of the gladiators came over, an Australian gladiator named John Saroo. His gladiator name was Vulcan. And he booked a role on a Bond film, a Sophie Marceau's bodyguard in The World Is Not Enough. And while we were doing Gladiator, he'd come over to the UK as a guest gladiator the year that I joined. So we kind of became buddies and we kept in touch. And he called me and he said, you need to get down to the set. Let's see if we can get something sorted. So I kind of milled around on the set of The World Is Not Enough. And then a couple of weeks later, I got a call and asked if I wanted to do, they had a little role. They tried to get it in the previous Bond film, but they couldn't get it in. Do you want to do it? Apologize, it was a small role. I said, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. And I always remember this is kind of funny. This. So Michael Apted was the director. And I remember that it's the casino scene. And there's always a casino scene in a Bond film. And this was the casino scene. I'm a Russian. I'm one of Robbie Coltrane's henchmen. a Russian guy. I didn't know I was Russian at the time. I'm from Liverpool. All right, sir, mate, I'm from Liverpool. All right, so this is how we talk. Okay. So we practiced the stunt. And then on the first day of the take, delivered my few lines. And then Michael Apted came up to me quietly, put his arm around my shoulder. He said, "Daz, where are you from?" I said, "Liverpool." He said, "You think you could do a Russian accent?" Fucking Russian accent? What are you talking about? The Russian bad guys. I said, I'll give it a shot. Sophie Marceau had a voice coach. So we did it, and I did it. What was the line? "I don't think you heard me, Mr. Bond. So I'm talking like a Russian. This is not a problem anymore." So they taught me how to speak Russian. So that was the beginning. And then I thought to myself, well, you know what? This is great. But I haven't studied to be an actor. I don't really know what I'm doing. So I quickly found studios in London and started studying. And then I started booking some more gigs. And then what happened after that? So I did Attila the Hun with Gerard Butler. I did a couple of British TV shows. And then Blade came along. And I thought, you know what, this is a good role. I'm going to come over to the States and see what I can do with it. And since then, you know, I've done multitude of things, great, you know, great gigs, NCIS. I had a great a run on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Covert Affairs, you know, these TV shows, guest starred on all those. And then I did a couple of years as doing motion capture for a game called God of War. And I was Kratos. So I did all the motion capture for that. And it's just been diverse. I've just been having a great time. You know, it's kind of to go from where I came from to now, it does, I do appreciate it. And I'm humbled by it all because how did it all happen? But, you know, you take a few risks, I took a few gambles. Having been in the military since school, I didn't really know what the fuck I was doing. You know, I just didn't have a fucking clue. And slowly started building it up. And here I am today, you know, 60 credits. And actually, I have to say this. This is totally probably what you won't know. I've just recently had a series of children's books published. But you didn't know that, really? Did you?
No.
So here we are on this whole, on your channel. Sorry about this, but and we're talking about kiddies books. But basically, what it was, I saw a documentary about orangutans and how we're taking to their land, you know, in South America, around the world. And I was watching. I was concerned about it. Oh, we're just decimating the planet. But it got me interested. And I thought, you know, I want to do something about this. And so I wrote about two little orangutans who have to leave the jungle because there's nothing left. And they find a city, an urban jungle, as it was. And they set up home. And then it's all about their adventures. And there's lessons for kids. So it's called The Adventures of Oran and Tang. And it's out there, Amazon and all, you know, Barnes & Noble, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's definitely diverse, but it's fun. You know, I'm still having a good time. I'm still enjoying doing it. It's difficult, you know, you're only as good as your last job. And people can say all day long, "Oh yeah, you did this. So it's going to be easy. You're going to get the next gig." And it doesn't work like that at all. You know, it's quite difficult. You're still auditioning. I get some direct bookings. But you're still auditioning. But it's definitely, it's difficult, but it's fun when you get a gig.
I was actually going to guess one of the names of the orangutan called Lighthammers.
The name of the orangutans is Oran and Tang.
Yeah.
Orangutan. I'm going to call him Lighthammer and Verlaine. Verlaine.
Okay, so you told the whole story how you heard of the role. You took your shot, You went to see, you auditioned for Lighthammer, you got the role, and you fucking did it, man. I mean, I'm sorry, Lighthammer is actually one of my favorite characters in the movie. I mean, I feel bad for him the way it ended. He got bit by a Reaper, and I was actually sad. And I was like, oh man, no way, dude. Come on, not Lighthammer. And
There
I was
could be a
like,
spin-off. There could be Lighthammer. You could do a whole new movie with just about Lighthammer and how he became Lighthammer. When I read it, part of the Blood Pack, and as an actor, you're asking yourself, why did you do this? Why did you do that? And I just made a few choices and tried to do the best as what I could for the knowledge I had at the time with that character. And if everybody was happy with it, then the way I looked at it, if there wasn't a second take, then Guillermo was happy. If we have to reshoot it again, then maybe he wasn't so happy with the choice you make. But it was a great gig to work on. It was probably the best job I've ever done in the acting, 25 years of acting. And I've done a lot of gigs and lots of projects, and it was a very, very good gig to work on. Kind of messed me up a bit because it was right early on in my career. And to get that so early can send your mind thinking, oh my God, if it's like this, is it always going to be like this? And it ain't. It's just not like that. It's fucking bollocks. It is a load of bollocks. I'm telling you, you're like, shit. You go audition after audition after audition after audition. And no, it's not your fault. A lot of times there's lots of other reasons why you don't get the gig. You're too tall, you're too small, you're too thin, you're too fat, whatever. So there's lots of reasons why you might not get the gig, but it was definitely a good one to get but because it was at the beginning of my career, you're looking, oh, when will I get another one like that? And obviously there's never been another one like that.
What was it like swinging that hammer anyway? Was it like a ball metal or a wood or some shit? Because you hit the guy and his neck goes, and next to the light hammer is going, double check. Like, somehow, what the fuck? I'm like, so
Okay, so
the
they
best
made a
weapon in the entire
couple.
movie is light hammer's weapon. I love it.
Yeah, one was rubber. One of the hammers was a rubber hammer, probably weighed about, I don't know, maybe 25 pounds. But when you're carrying it for 12 hours, it
I
gets
bet.
heavy. The one that with the point that shot out, that was real. That probably weighed about 40. I think it was weighed about 40 pounds. And it really did. You twisted it and it did shoot out. It wasn't special effects. That was a tough one to carry around. But I'd love to know where that hammer is. I think it's in Canada somewhere. Somebody's got it in Canada somewhere. But I would love to have that back. Yeah, it
If
was
you're out there
definitely.
listening to this, he wants his hammer back, asshole. Give it back to him, okay?
Give me my hammer back. I want my hammer. Give it me back. Yeah, it was heavy. It wasn't heavy initially, but to carry it around all day was definitely heavy. And then on the day that I change, there's a scene where I change.
Yeah,
That
transitioned, yeah.
particular day, they besides all the leather I was wearing, two sets of contacts in each eye at the same time, and then a whole prosthetic rubber face put over the top of me. So the only place my skin could breathe was through my eyes or through my mouth. Everywhere else was totally covered. That was difficult. And that was the only day that they put the tattoos on the prosthetic. Every other day, they put it on my skin. And what we tried to do was initially the makeup artist's idea was to put the tattoos on and leave them on for the whole 3 months. And that would have been great. But then I would have had to go out at night with these tattoos on. But that wasn't a problem. But the problem was at night when I slept, they smudged and it was too messy. She was trying to clean it up every day. And in the end, they just said, no, we'll just take it off, put it on. But it would take, I think it took about an hour and a half to put on and about an hour to get off. So my skin was pretty fucked up when I finished. It was so, you know, it was ripped apart because it's like, I think it's alcohol they put on your face, whatever it is, you know.
Well, you're wearing a leather suit, you got prosthetics, and you're walking in a sewer. I mean, Jesus Christ, man.
Hot and lights, you know. I'm trying to do as little as possible because as soon as you get up, you're 100 degrees, you're just roasting, you know, everything is hot. But luckily, it was only for that one particular day with all that prosthetic on when they did all the mouth opening and all that kind of stuff. It's good fun.
I was going to ask you, was that, what was it like? Were you excited knowing that you're about to be transitioning to a Reaper?
Becoming a Reaper. It was shit. Fuck, here we go. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm becoming a monster. But at the time, I was just thinking, I gotta hide it, gotta hide it. Don't tell anybody. Nobody knows. So you know, then and then obviously the slow change, and the first one was Donnie Yen. You know, it was part and parcel. It's part of the course, wasn't it? You know, you're a bad guy, then you get badder, and then you get killed. It's one of them things, you know.
What pissed me off is like you're sitting there and the shit is just oozing down your chest. And like, how does nobody see that? Come on, do that bit. How does nobody fucking see that?
Covered it up. I was like, go away, go away.
Especially Verlaine, your girl, and like, how does she not see that? And
Yeah,
next thing you
yeah.
know, you're a Reaper, eat the shit out of Donnie in the sewer, and then you start chasing Verlaine. I'm like,
Yeah.
what the fuck is going on?
I know, I felt bad. But the bitch, she killed me. What's she thinking? You know, kill yourself, don't kill me. You know, come on, this is selfish, but you know, you can't change the script, can you? I
But
love
still, man,
Marie, you're
Jesus
great,
Christ.
Marie. She was great.
So, do you have any favorite scenes in the movie that you did?
A favorite scene. Yeah, got to be the nightclub scene. In the when we go into the House of Pain, I mean there was hundreds of extras. It was great, you know, that whole process setting that up, and then watching the result back. It was brilliant to watch, you know, because I could place everything where everything was, where they did this, why they, and the stunts, the guy getting thrown through the window. It was a really good, you know, it was a good scene that the hotel, the nightclub scene.
Okay, I hate to ruin it for people, but I knew from the get-go that Scud and Ron Perlman's character, I can't remember his name.
Oh gosh, what was his name?
I can't remember now.
Ron's name was no, come to me. His name's Ron, but go
But
on.
I knew from the get-go they were going to betray Blade from the very beginning. I
What made you
got you,
think
Ron. I got you. I see
that?
you, Ron. I see where you're going. This is I'm very observant when it comes to movies, and I saw the foreshadowing, the foreboding. I'm like, these motherfuckers are gonna turn on Blade. These assholes. It's like,
You
I
know,
can see it
because
as that.
we were trained to kill him, right? But we still hated his fucking guts. That didn't mean just because, oh yeah, we're all part of a team. We'd been training for a couple of years, remember, to kill him. So just because you've got to change it all just like that doesn't mean we're gonna be thinking, oh yeah, he's your mate now. Yeah, he's your best buddy. That wasn't the
Reinhardt,
case.
that's his name. Reinhardt, that's his name.
Reinhardt.
Yeah.
Reinhardt, there you go.
Fuck you, Reinhardt. Fuck you.
Ron. No, it's definitely a lot of double crossing, wasn't it? Backstabbing. And yeah, it was fun. It was excellent.
But yeah, the makeup, the special effects were all amazing. The acting, the dialogue, I loved every single moment of Blade 2. I mean, even
Yeah.
though poor Whistler, that guy just kept trashed on all the entire movie, man. So bad, Whistler.
Whistler's getting shit on all the time, wasn't he?
They did. I'm like, poor motherfucker. It's just the poor soul is just all the blood patches fucking with him. Like, you know, the guy, the big tall guy, the short blonde, he's like bumping into him. He's like, you better curb your dog, otherwise, you know. I'm like, oh my God, shoot the asshole already. I would. Take the 50 cal sniper rifle and the rifle, just shoot him in the head. Just get the fuck over with. Come on.
It was good, yeah. Definitely. I'm trying to, you know, it's different because obviously I was on the set, so I see the making of it, then I see the end result, and then when I listen to people talking about it, and they always tell me their best bits, what they like the most. It's interesting for me to hear that coming from the audience because we don't know, you know, we're putting a product together, but to hear them come back and say, "Oh yeah, I like this bit, and I like that, and that character, and this character." And I will say, you know, why, what is it about that character? You're like, oh yeah, well, they kicked fucking ass, didn't they? You know, they were doing this, they were doing that. So I was like, oh, okay, I get you. But it's a vampire movie, you know, so that's what you expect.
So yeah, you, Reinhardt, Chupa, Priest.
Priest,
and Donnie, yeah. Donnie's Jen character. I can't remember what Donnie's Jen, his character's name was, but
Donnie,
he never talked,
Donnie,
so.
And Valaine, that's right. Yeah, we were the blood pack, the team. It was, yeah.
Then you had the two of the people who started it all. God, what's her name? I can't remember.
Valaine. Not Valaine.
Demaskino was his daughter. I can't remember her name, but yeah. I gotta look it up now.
Yeah, look it up. Look it up because it's a long time ago. It's a long time ago. Yeah, there was two characters actually. Who started it off, and she comes to give us the message, doesn't she? That's right.
Okay, so Donnie Yen was Snowman.
Yeah.
El Demostino's had Verlaine. Assad, that's the guy I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Jesus, what was the woman's name? I can't, it's not showing up here.
It's not showing up.
It's not.
It must be there.
It's not showing up. IMDb is crazy. I hate IMDb sometimes.
It's got to be there. It's got to be there.
There's you.
Let's have a look. I'll have a look. See if I can.
Nisa. That's who it is. Nisa.
Nisa. That was it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Crazy name. But yeah, they came and gave Wesley the scoop, didn't they? Let him know what was going on, and then we take it from there. The fun begins.
Like you said, backstabbing, like, Jesus, it's like the royal family or something. Just it's like the forces just fucking killing, like, just, you know, just betraying each other, man. Like, what the fuck is going on? Get your shit together and just call it even. Call it square. Come on, man. But Nomad, he's on a fucking he's on a revenge trip to kill his father. And Nisa has no idea what the hell is going on. She's part of this fucking triangle. And they just, oh, yeah. Jesus, it's frustrating.
It was great, and I think there was definitely some script changes throughout the filming. So, you know, Guillermo would get people together and say, yeah, I don't like this scene, we'll do this, we'll do that. So there's definitely some changes on a daily basis. So sometimes you didn't really know what you were going to be doing. I do believe my character, I'm not 100% sure, but I do believe my character was initially, and this is, again, I can't confirm this, but I only heard this, that Wesley was originally going to kill me, but it got, for some reason, it got changed. Maybe Guillermo came up with a better idea. And so we went with that one. And that was how I eventually bit the bullet, you know?
So yeah. Would you rather be killed by Blade or by Sunlight?
It depends how he kills me. If there's a big fight and it was hard work for him, yeah, of course, you know, I'll try and make it last a bit longer.
Nice, he kills you with your own weapon. That would really suck. I mean,
yeah, that's not good. Yeah, that wouldn't be right, would it? Yeah, he kills me with my own hammer. Come on, that's, you know. Yeah, I think it would have been good if he had killed me. Yeah, yeah, but it would have had to have been a proper scrap, you know, a proper free for all, lots of blood and guts.
I mean, he's got the speed, but you got the muscle. So
yeah, I had the strength. He's got the speed. Yeah, he's fast.
Oh my God! So, any memorable moments from the movie set that you wanted to, that you just absolutely loved?
Going out, going out on the piss at night. I mean, we were living like vampires. We were literally going out at midnight and coming back at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. I can't go into too much detail because I'll be getting people into trouble. But we did have some great times. There was a great night when what Guillermo did, he I don't know how it all worked, but we had a kind of a party during filming for all the extras that were at the in the nightclub. So we got another night, a real nightclub, and they put up on a big party for all those people. And there's a good couple of hundred, which was a great, you know, that's unusual. You don't normally get that. And that was a good night. That was another long, long good night. So I think the social side of it was, for me, was good, just as good as the filming.
I can imagine the rat party was off the chain too, man. I can just...
It was messy. I'm not going into detail. I'll get into trouble. But I'll never get an acting gig again in my life.
Nope, secret shit for me, man. I'm not going to press you for that one. Do you have any upcoming movies or projects you want to talk about that I can help?
Yeah, promote? I would like to. There's something in the process now. I've been casting it. It's a spy movie, and we should be starting in the next few weeks, hopefully, fingers crossed. The pre-production's already in place. And strangely enough, I've never had a gig where I've shot in the UK, being a Brit. But this is the first time we'll be shooting it in the UK. And it's really freaking cool. It's called The Viewers. I can't say too much, but it's a spy movie. And it's very clever. There's lots of twists and turns. It's not... When I read it, I thought, sometimes you can kind of guess where it's going. With this one, it kind of sends you on different paths, so you're not really sure. Okay. And so hopefully we'll be shooting that in the next few weeks. It's called The Viewers, spy movie, and it looks like it could be really, really good. So that's where I'm at right now. And I'm still writing my kiddies' books. Well, 11 have been published. I've got another 44 that I've written. I've got to get pictures to them.
Wow.
So I'm busy with that. Yeah, I'm busy doing that. And other than that, you know, I'm just doing my normal auditions like we normally do as actors when we're out of work and trying to find gigs. But I think, you know, the thing in the acting world is we all want to be successful, like everybody does in every job. And it's not possible for everybody to be successful in every job because you can't have all the bosses at the top. It's enjoying the journey. And the journey, you know, is getting a gig here and a gig there. And it's a small one here and a big one there. And hopefully you're building your resume up. And you've got to be a realist about it. You know, actors think, a lot of people think that actors, what do they do? I studied for 6 years. And I put a lot of work into it to learn the craft because I had to. But even then, that's not the end. You know, you can still carry on going to lessons. You know, I teach a couple of kids here and there. But it's not a dream job if you are looking for a quick fix. It's, you know, it's something that you've got to enjoy doing, enjoy the rejection. You know, rejection is 90% of it. For every gig that you see, you've probably done, you know, 20, 30 auditions before you've booked the job.
I get it because I get a lot of rejections from emails when I send out the publicist. I get a lot of rejections. It hurts my heart, but it breaks my heart. But I'm like, I still keep pressing. I keep going on.
Keep going. You can't win if you're not in it, right? Yeah. You cannot win it if you're not in it. So, you know, to me, it's, but, you know, you just have fun. And that's the same with life. You know, we're not here forever. So just enjoy your stuff while you're here and have fun doing it. I talk to some actors and they get frustrated. I used to when I first started, I get it. But, you know, if you don't like the job where you're at, then don't do it because you never know if it's going to happen. But other than that, I've had a great time. I can't fault it. You know, when you find something, and it was an accident, it was a total accident. That was the other thing about it. You know, going back to my story, when I did the James Bond, and realized that I didn't had no skills in the acting world, and quickly went to drama schools in London. And I realized I had to add more layers to me. I couldn't be so closed off. Coming from the background I was very closed off. And as an actor, you've got to be open and accessible and vulnerable. And these are all the things that I'd never done. And so that was a great challenge for me. And that I grew as a person because of the acting school, not because of the gigs, but learning at school. It's a lot of it is psychology. And so personally, it did more for me away from the camera than it did actually on the camera, which I appreciate and I'm happy for. I'm glad that happened to me.
Wise words from an awesome actor. You hear that? Everybody out there in Hollywood and film industry, heed his advice, damn it. It's really good advice. That's all the time we have. I'm sorry. You've been a wonderful guest. This has been an awesome interview. You are just fucking phenomenal. And I want to see a spinoff of Lighthammer. I really do. Because he had a really shitty ending. I'm sorry.
Just bring him back his twin brother. That's what we need to do. Bring back, he's got a twin brother.
What would the twin brother's name be? I don't know, like Heavy Hammer, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. We'll have to come up with something better than that, I think. Well, put it out to your audience, see what they come up with.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the awesome, the tall, the built up Daz Crawford. Thank you so much for joining me. I wish you nothing but the best in your career and your publishing career. It sounds like you're doing great for yourself. And
thanks.
God damn it, you've been an awesome guest.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Yeah. Been a pleasure. And if you ever want me back and do something else in the future, you never know. I might come back.
Absolutely. And I will see you on the big screen.
Right.